Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue blessing you greatly in favor of the whole church in this end time. And greetings also to all that are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. And also through the internet and other means of communication. And to all those who are present. Everyone who is visiting us from different countries as well. A warm welcome. And also to those who gathered here. Today, Sunday, January 7th of this year, 2024. We have as a subject, who is the Son of Man for this day? Preached on March 1st, 2015 in Villahermosa, Mexico. Let us search in the Gospel according to Mark. There he read to us in Matthew 16:13-20, and Mark also speaks to us about this occasion when Peter made that confession, which came by divine revelation of who the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was. That is, of who Jesus was. Mark chapter 8, verse 27, it says, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. In other words, that John the Baptist had resurrected. But some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. That is because that is a revelation for the elect. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests. Notice elders there, we have read in these days, they also represent ministers at this time. And of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. After such a great revelation that he received there of who Jesus was, notice, then afterwards he tells Jesus that what he was saying would happen to him should not happen to him. Who is the Son of Man for this day? You may please be seated. In the message, works is faith expressed. It tells us on page 13, it says, now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay. There, just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. A Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, I just can't accept revelation. I said, then you cannot accept the Bible. You cannot accept Christ because He is the revelation of God. He is God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Jesus said to, I believe it was Peter, He said, who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? He was talking to His disciples. And some said, you're Elias and Moses or one of the prophets and Jeremiah. He said, but who do you say? Notice, that was the important thing that had to be heard by Jesus. Not what the people of the world said, but what the disciples said of who Jesus was. He said, that is Peter, thou art the Christ, that is the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Now, the Roman Catholic Church says, he was speaking to Peter, upon this rock I built my church. The Protestant said, he was building it upon himself. Now, they could be right, but to me, both of them's wrong. It was upon the spiritual revelation of who he was. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, the revelation of who he is, upon the revelation, he is the Word in the whole. And there he writes, Peter and the revelation. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And he writes, the gate of hell. It showed the gates of hell would be against it. Abel, by faith, revelation, no Bible written in those days, by Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that which Cain, which God testified he was righteous. How? By faith. How? By revelation. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field. It was the blood. And there he writes, fruits, blood. And he writes, the blood, dogmas, creeds, Nicolaism, produced the Cain denomination. But the blood word erases that sin. And on the side he writes, Cain and Abel. There he, when we're going to write it down, so that you can see where those periods and commas are. And he goes on saying, that is why some people can believe it, and some can't believe it. Some try to make believe it in an audience of people where a prayer line comes true. You'll find some, and they were all good people, we'll say. There is some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. And there he writes, three types of believers. Now, there is the difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, "No man can come to me except my Father draws him first, or reveals me to him first." You ought to read that. It's in St. James or St. John 6:44 and 2:46. They did not know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. He was a prophet. He was an ordinary man. But there was more than that. Just like last night, speaking, when you get the book, you're going to see maybe a little confusion there of what I said. The two books of life is the same book, but one of them is your natural birth. The other one is your spiritual birth. One leads out to the other one, just like a stalk of wheat. Well, now, you talk of me as a living person, but there is a part of me here is that person that must perish. That's the book that the name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, the name never can come from there because it was always on it. It can never be taken off. Now notice how he defines every person who is written there. He is eternal. He is predestinated. And he is chosen. He says that he never can come out from there because he was always with him. That is you and that is me. And he writes there, Peter and the Revelation. And he writes, the book of life. In the message, the third dispensation, the human government, our brother William tells us, which was preached on March 15th of 2015 in Asunción, Paraguay, and he says, the great promise for this end time is the coming of the Son of Man. That is why more is spoken about the coming of the Son of Man for the last day than what was spoken for the day of the Son of Man in his first coming on earth and to the land of Israel. In other words, more is spoken about the coming of the Lord for the last day than what was spoken for the first coming of Christ. And in the book of the seals, it tells us something there about how he was expected by the wise of that time, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and all those people. Look, in the book of the seals, page 40. And let us see there in this short narration of how the Son of Man came 2,000 years ago. Remember that everything is parallel. It says, now, so, he was so simple when this Messiah, for 4,000 years, every prophet spoke of him. David sung of him. And all down through the Hebrew ages, because Israel had 7 Hebrew ages. And when he come, The people had their own idea built up, what he must do, how he was going to do, how it was all explained, drawn out on charts and everything, till when he came, in that real simple way, he just ruined their theology. See? They didn't know it. There he draws a Star of David at the beginning of that paragraph. And he writes, simple, in this book. And also ending that paragraph, at the bottom, on the left side, he also writes, simple, and he also draws a Star of David. And on this one, he writes, when the Messiah came, it ruined all their theology. They didn't recognize him. They did not recognize him. He came according to the Word. He came according to the Word. Now, do you believe that God spoke through the prophets that the Messiah would come in a certain way? It's too bad we haven't got about another hour that we could go through there and explain how it was, see? We all know how it was, though most of us. How God said he would come, and how that thou, Bethlehem of Judea, art not the least amongst, and all down there, and how he would do, and what he would do, see? And yet, he was so simple till those great scholars had got it so mixed up till they missed it. But you know, Jesus didn't come contrary to the Word. He came according to the Word, but contrary to their interpretations, see? He taught things that was against their ecclesiastical training about him. Now they said, now for instance, when Messiah comes, certainly he'll come up to the temple and say, Caiaphas, or ever who is high priest, I have arrived. He'll come with a 10 million angel salute. The God will say, all right, fellows down there, you're really a mighty church. You're my people. I'm going to turn the crank here and let the corridors of heaven down. I'm sending the Messiah to you this morning and let it land right out there in the yard. And all the people get around, say, Dr. So-and-so, you Dr. So-and-so, you all can stand at the head to greet him first, you see? Now, that's perhaps something like they're thinking today. Now, I know it's a little, it sounds a little rash, but I'm trying to make a point. And there, that's the way it's going to be. And if he don't come that way, it's not right. It's an antichrist, see? Then the next thing comes down will be about 10 million angels salute with their bands. And they'll land out there in the yard where Solomon built a temple and all up and down through here. This holy place where saints and sages had died and so forth. Yes, Jesus said, you hypocrites, you sons of the devil, said, you garnished the tombs of the prophets and your fathers put them in there. That's right. That's right. See? How many righteous men and prophets was sent to you, and still you slayed every one of them? See? But what would he call righteous? Them? What they call fanatic and cranks, yes? There, they thought it would come that way. But when he come in a stable, born of a virgin, with just a common carpenter for a foster father, and a little unknown girl, see? Not the high priest's daughter, or what more. He came as from a little lady that lived down in the little old mean country called Nazareth, and just a common widower. His wife was dead. He had some children, Joseph, and she was engaged. And then he came with a black name to begin with. They said he was illegitimately born. Oh my. That hit their polish too hard, see? Their educational ethics could not swallow that. Their interpretations of the scripture know nothing about that. But yet, it was the thus saith the Lord. And he writes the same today. Oh my, shivers me to think it and to see the same thing reoccurring again. God cannot change. And he writes there what the prophet saw. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, he tells us, and the name is in the Word on page 28. And the name is in the Word because He is the Word. Amen. What is He then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. No wonder flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, who I am. And upon this rock I'll build my place of worship. And upon this rock I'll build my place of worship. And the gates of hell can't shake it down. Amen. O living church of God, stand in firm foundation on Jesus Christ alone. You can sing the song, but if you're not on Christ, the Word, you're teetering, faltering sand. But upon this rock, Christ, my Word, he draws Star of David, and a pyramid and the ages. Then he writes, who is the Son of Man today? He wrote it as a question, like today's message question. He built the Lutheran message, and they denominated it. It was growing, the footstool. Then he grew up into the leg part, the Methodist, and so forth. There's where he built his church upon his word. Now, he's not all foot or a thigh. He is a body. And now is the capping part. And he writes there, the church's crown to become queen and reign. Did you notice in the pyramids? Which I do not preach a pyramid religion now. But the first Bible was ever wrote was wrote in the sky. Did you notice it? It starts off with the Virgin, the first figure in the zodiac. And he writes, the first coming. The last figure is Leo the lion. He come first by the Virgin. He comes next as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he writes, the second coming, Lion of Judah. Just before that, a cancer age, a crossfish, all the rest the ages. If we had time to go through it, which we have at the tabernacle, and the pyramid being those foundations up into the king's chamber, and just before you hit the seventh wall, there is a little introduction plank there, where a messenger comes out to bring you to the king. The messenger, John the Baptist, that introduced to the king. But the headstone was rejected, and they don't know the stone of scone, or whatever it is. They don't know where it's at, because it's a rejected stone. But that's the stone that caps the whole thing. that makes it the pyramid through the complete seven church ages. Add grace, and this, there is seven odds. The last one is Christ. Add this to your charity. Add grace. To your grace, add something else. And something else. Till it gets up to Christ is the headstone. And I am the door. And he writes, the door. And there, he also writes on the corner at the bottom, the seven virtues. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, Christ. Now notice. Let us go further down to continue on page 29. Now, a son always comes in his father's name. Any son comes in his father's name. And Jesus said, I come in my father's name. Then, what is the name of the father? What is the name of the son? And he said, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. Yep, he's come in the form of the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus. That was the reason they worshiping. Oh, Jesus, see? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And there he writes, the Father's name equals, the Father's name equals the Son, equals the Holy Spirit, equals. Now, notice our brother William continues saying, even Christ himself spoke of the coming of the Son of Man at the last day, for which we need to know the whole mystery of the Son of Man promised to be manifested at the last day. Because we do not want it to happen to us as it did to the people who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And he came there. He was the Son of Man. And they overlooked him. Notice, in the book of quotations, on page 117, paragraph 1042, it tells us, he is waiting for some prophet to rise on the scene to manifest that. He promised it according to Malachi 4. It'll be done. No matter how foolish the people think, it'll be done anyhow. God said so. He is able of these stones. Our creeds won't receive it. If our churches won't receive it, God can go back to the stable. He can go anywhere he wants to. But there'll be somebody stand up for this word spoke for this day. Something has to manifest it. It won't be a group, either never was. And he writes above there, someone. And at the beginning of page 117, on top on paragraph 242, he writes, a prophet, two dots, to manifest the promise. And our brother William goes on to say, they thought he was a madman, a fanatic, a false prophet, a person possessed by an evil spirit. But he was the coming of the Son of Man for that time. Today they call him different modern names. Because that fulfills Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19. That God would raise up a prophet like Moses and put his word in the mouth of that prophet. And whoever would not hear what he spoke in the name of the Lord, God would destroy him from among the people. On page 42 in this book of quotations, it tells us in paragraph 340, it says, God transmitted it to him. Oh, I don't believe he was took like Paul, now up into the third heaven and seen things. Now, John was transmitted from the Isles of Patmos in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. This is the day of man. Men are fighting, but the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of the Lord and of His Christ. And then there'll be the great millennium, the Lord's day, the day of His coming, His judgment. That'll be the Lord's day. This is the day of man. That's the reason they slam you around and do what they want to with you. But there'll be a time, they call you now holy roller and fanatic. But there'll be a time come, see, that they won't do that. They'll scream and wail and fall at your feet. And he draws Star of David. And he writes, they will fall at his feet. And above he writes, the great millennium. He also writes, they will fall at his feet, the great millennium, the Lord's day, the day of his coming. To that, the dispensation of the kingdom. All of that there, in that space up there in 340s, they will fall at his feet, the great millennium, the Lord's day, the day of his coming, to that, the dispensation of the kingdom. And there on the side, upward, on that same paragraph, along all that side there, to the top, Revelation 11, 15 to 18. And 6, 12 to 17. And 19, 11 to 26. All those scriptures go together with the fulfillment of this that we just read. Now, he continues saying, we were saying, and whoever would not hear what he spoke in the name of the Lord, God would destroy him from among the people. To hear is a blessing, Brother William says. To not hear is to be blotted out from the book of life. Notice how delicate is not to hear the one that the Lord has sent. He says, I will destroy him from among the people. That is that. And our brother William tells us there that he will be blotted out from the book of life. In the message, God is his own interpreter. Page 19, it says, do you believe it out there? You believe it's Jesus Christ? What is it? It's His Word. When these people reject it, they're not rejecting man. They're rejecting the Word. It's the Word that was on the outside, couldn't get back in. And a little further down, he says, now, you can see what's happened just in the last few minutes. See? I'm staggering. See? It's just everything has become blind to me. See? It's discerning. See? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's the word promised for this day. It's never been since the days of the apostles. It never has been. But where it was said, in just before the coming of the Son of Man. And it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Unbelievers don't believe it. They're not expected to believe it. But the believers believe it. And our brother William goes on to say, the subject of the coming of the Son of Man is the most important subject for the end time. Therefore, we need to know that when the coming of the Son of Man is promised, 2,000 years was the coming of the prophet like Moses. Because Son of Man means prophet. It is a title of prophet in the message. Who is this Melchizedek? On page 22, it tells us, and this Melchizedek became flesh. He revealed himself as a Son of Man when he come, as a prophet. He come in three names of a son, the Son of Man, and he numbers it one, the Son of God, two, the Son of David, three. And on the side he writes, Melchizedek made flesh. When he was here on earth, he was a man to fulfill the scripture. Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. So, he had to come as a prophet. He didn't never say, I'm the Son of God. He said, I am the Son of Man. Do you believe the Son of Man? Now he's come in another son's name, Son of God, the unseen, the Spirit. And he writes, Theophany. And where it says, another son's name, he writes, Revelation 19. I am the Son of Man. Do you believe the Son of Man? Now he's come in another son's name, Son of God, the unseen, the Spirit. And when he comes again, he is Son of David, to sit upon his throne. And he writes, Son of David, to sit on the throne. And our brother William continues to say, and throughout the history of his church, we have had different stages, ages, generations of the church, where we can say, in the midst of the Gentiles, the first generation of Christ was the age of Ephesus, an age led by Christ in the messenger Paul, and so from age to age. And to which generation do we belong to in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the Gentiles? Now look at page 116 of paragraph 10:23, it tells us. That's the reason the Lutherans died when Wesley rose up. It was in another age. The word come forth and they had to accept it or die. If they did not go on to that other age and they did not accept that messenger with that other message for that other age, what awaited them? Death. Why? Because they were going to be denominationalized. And Brother Branham says that at the moment that group denominationalizes, that very day they die. The day they make a man their leader instead of the Holy Ghost, in that day, hour, age, and dispensation in which the person is given to live, that day that group dies. And how can the person, the elect of the time in which they are living, make the Holy Spirit as their leader? Well, in the instrument that God puts in the time which you have been given to live. But if you put a man where the Holy Spirit is not working at that time, then there you are putting that man, not the Holy Spirit. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now, because the age is here. The word has been manifest, the eagle time. And he writes, eagle. And above he writes, an age is born, and the previous age dies. Our brother William goes on to say, to the generation or eternal age of the church, the age of the cornerstone, the most important of all the stages of the church, and the only one that had and has the promise of and for the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, and his angels are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, to call and gather 144,000 Hebrews. In the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, it tells us on page 46, he tells us, we don't need a new organization. What we need, oh God, I feel it pouring in around through here now. What we need is a prophet of God to rise up with a thunderbolt of God. Spiritual lightning, thou shake this world to shame. Hallelujah. Empty vessel is what he needs. That's right. A called out church, a little minority, thou receive God's power and the blessings and his message. Hallelujah. That's what we need. Get weak so you can get strong. It'll conquer every devil. It'll put the learned to shame. It'll bring men and women who God has called, and that only. And there he writes, a prophet with a thunderbolt. Remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes, as Elijah and Moses. And beside it he writes, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11. Eight souls were saved. In the days of Elijah, there were 7,000 only had it. Oh, just think of where we are living now. When John came on the scene, the little church was certainly in the minority. Now remember, in the book of the seals, he said that 500 people go missing daily, he says, and the world does not realize. Where is that? There's a part where we speak there. Let us see. There are two places. Look on page 46. Now from the top it says, now this week we're going to get in some awful deep teaching on the word. Now notice the rapture. Will be so few going that bride. Now see how the teachers has got it? They got charts and they go, show 10 million people come up here, all the Methodists, if it's a Methodist preacher. If it's a Pentecostal, all Pentecostals coming. It will never touch it. You'll be maybe one leave Jeffersonville. Just somebody come up missing. They'll say, well, you never, the rest of them won't know. There'll be one leave Georgia, see, a state of the United States. There'll be one leave in Africa. And let's say there will be 500 people living will go in the translation. Now, that ain't the church body. This is the bride. That ain't the church. This is the bride, see? The church will go up by the thousands, but that's in the next resurrection. They live not for that space of 1,000 years, see? Revelation 25. But in the bride, if 500 people left the earth this very minute, the world would know nothing about it. Jesus said, there be one in the bed, I'll take one, leave one. That's at nighttime. There will be two in the field, one on the one side of the earth, I'll take one and leave one. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Think. Everything will move just as common as it can be. A fanatic message will go by, and the first thing you know, something, and he writes there, a fanatic message will come. He writes there in between those two paragraphs. The first thing you know, this minister going somewhere, he never come back. He probably went to the woods hunting. He just never returned no more. And this fellow went somewhere. Do you know what happened? I believe that young girl, she must have been caught away somewhere. You know, somebody take that girl out and ravish her. Probably throw her in the river. She was with nobody. 99 out of every, may say 1 out of 100 million will ever know anything about it, see? Lest somebody that's acquainted with her say, the girl is missing. Why? I can't understand. She never did leave like that. And he continues speaking about it. There's another place as well. On page 199, let us see there. Why? There wasn't, I guess, one-third of the whole Jewish race ever know that Jesus Christ was on earth. They might have heard of some fanatic down along there somewhere, but they didn't pay any attention to it, just going on. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, there is where I believe ever. Now, I didn't say he would secretly come, but the rapture will be a secret. So, if that was so secret when he come, how much more will the rapture be unknown? See? They won't know it. Directly they'll say, well, I thought we were supposed to have a rapture, and all these judgments upon the earth? He'll say, it's already taken place, and you didn't know it. See, it'll be so, just like a thief at the night, like a book I read one time. What is that called? Romeo and Juliet. Is that what it was or something? He got the ladder up beside the house, some way, been a long time, and come to get her out at night time. Now, that's the way it'll take place, and it'll be gone. Now, they'll send a bunch of angels down with some spades and dig up the graves. The Bible said, will be changed before even they could bat your eyes. Just a twinkle. It'll be over that quick. You say somebody disappeared. Well, I imagine if we could search the world over today, there'd be 500 people disappear off the earth each day. See? They don't know nothing about. Here is where he said it. They just come up disappearing. Well, there ain't going to be too many to go in that rapture. Now, I don't want to scare you, and I don't think it's that way, but I just want to tell you what he said, and you know it yourself, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved by water, 8 souls of the whole world be saved by water. And he writes, 8 souls, 8 age. That is what it represents. Now, notice, all of that represents the elect of God, whom will be raptured at this time. In other words, out of a number, It represents that group. And we leave that there. In a part there, he says, in this one, the ones of the fourth Elisha, the ones of the fifth Elisha, the one of the two olive trees. In other words, notice all that there of which the greatest and the most important thing is that you and I are a part of that number, and that by being eternal with the Eternal One and being predestinated and chosen, no one can take us out of that book, as we read there. It is like the 153 fish, see? A small number represents a number that represents the chosen ones of this end time. Those 153 big fish that are caught in this third pool. Because it was in the third pool that Brother Branham was going to carry out that catch when the angel was showing him how to fish there. But when he was supposed to carry out that catch of fish, he pulled the hook too hard and he didn't catch them. And then, see, he was taken up and placed in that part where he was trying to put that shoelace into the eyelet of a little shoe. And he realized that it would not go in. But the angel told him, look what you're doing. Take the other end. And when he looked, you know, when the shoelace is missing the eyelet, which is pointy, it gets all fussy. And if you try to lace it through the eyelet, sometimes you do this to put it in your mouth and you wet it with saliva. You put it in a bunch of things to see if you can put it through the little hole. That is how he was trying to put it in, trying to stuff into the Pentecostals, something that the angel himself tells him, don't try to teach Pentecostal babies all these things. And he sees the other end and he places it smoothly. And then he's brought up upon this place. Because notice, at that point, it was not him, the one who was going to carry out that catch. He says that he stopped hearing his wife. I couldn't hear her anymore, he says. He was put in a higher place. And he could no longer be doing what he did in the first and second pool, where he was himself. Because he tried to go down, but he couldn't. And he tried, but he was not the one who was going to do that. Because later he sees that there is someone else ministering for him. And he writes in some places, it was not Brother Branham, because it was already in the sixth dimension. Therefore, there was a ministry working in the midst of the people that was carrying out that miraculous catch of those fish that would be transformed. Because what was the catch for? It was to place them in that eternal age, in that heavenly age, where they would receive the promise of their transformation. That is why he wanted, he longed for. I can almost reach out to take it. He desired that promise. He longed for it, like all the messengers, to be clothed upon. Because at that time, in which the third pool would be taking place, that would be the time of the resurrection and of transformation. And for the messenger who took hold of that promise, well, automatically, with the people, they were going to reach that moment, that while being alive, to receive the promise of seeing our loved ones, the ones who have departed, and us, by seeing them, be transformed. Now, notice of what he goes on to say here. In the message that we are reading, page 46, in this book, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, when John came on the scene, the little church was certainly in the minority, but there was empty vessels to pour the oil in. Hallelujah. God, let us empty ourselves up. Get empty, friends. Get weak. Deny your own ability. And you out in radio, not radio, but that hear these tapes, wherever they come, empty yourselves out. Pour yourselves out upon God's altar as a sacrifice. Let the angel come. And he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 6. The angel come with a coal of fire. Fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God. Then he'll make you strong. He'll give you grace to stand. Now, he continues saying, in this message that we are reading, the third dispensation, human government, it says, there in that age is where that promise has to be fulfilled, and the rest of the promises as well. Now notice on page 564 of the Book of the Seals, Brother Branham tells us here, it says, now, if them other is perfectly on the dot with the word, so is this perfectly on the dot with the word. We are here. We are at the end, friends. Soon it shall be time run out. Millions will lose their lives. Millions will be that now believe that they are saved, will be counted fodder for the atomic age. We are living at the last hour by the grace of Almighty God, by His help to His people, that they might look forward to the soon appearing of Christ. And he writes, with Moses and Elisha. And on the left he draws a cornerstone. How long, Brother Branham? Maybe 20 years, maybe in 50 years, maybe in 100 years, I don't know, and maybe in the morning, maybe yet tonight. In the morning, he writes of Israel, yet tonight, he writes of the Gentiles. And on the right side, he writes, in the morning. I don't know. And anybody says they do know, they're wrong, see? They don't know. God only knows. Now notice. So help me, by God, I tell the truth that these are spiritually discerned to me, discerned by the Holy Spirit, and by every one of them has identified its place in the Bible. Now what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal? I don't know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it. Just what it said. But I know that it was the seven thunders ordering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times, and it unfolded into something else. And he writes, it unfolded third dispensation. That is kingdom. He writes, three dispensation. And it unfolded unto something else. And he writes, to Israel. Into something else that I seen. Then when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation. It flew across there and I couldn't make it out. He also writes there on the side, the seventh seal speaks another language. That's exactly right, see? The hour isn't quite yet, and he writes the zero hour. The hour isn't quite yet for it, and he writes Israel. For it, and he writes in the tent. But it's moving into that cycle, and he writes third dispensation and a cornerstone. See, it's coming up close. There on the right side, he writes, I couldn't interpret it. Then he writes, cycle. That is, it's moving into that cycle, and he writes, cycle. So, the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you do not know what time, and he writes, 0 hour, something can happen. And he writes, in another language, on the side there. Now, when that gets on tape, which it is, they'll probably send 10,000 of my friends away from me, because they're going to say that Brother Branham is trying to put himself and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, my brethren, that is an error. I'm only telling you what I've seen and what has been told to me. And now you do whatever you want to, because each person has free will. I don't know who is going to, what's going to take place. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah, the veil of flesh. I do not know. I just know that those seven thunders hold that mystery. The heaven was quiet. And he writes, silence for half an hour. It may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person, and he writes, the angel of Jesus, that we're expecting to rise on the scene, may arise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And there he writes on the left side, Moses and Elijah. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time, see? If it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease. And on page 474 of his Spanish book, there he writes, he'll increase, and he writes, another prophet is coming. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. And he writes, Moses, look and see what it was. And he writes, in the tent, Moses. That is, it is a dispensational ministry, a prophet like Moses. See, unfold to that much. Now, that's the truth. I am sure that you have noticed the things that have been happening this week. I'm sure you noticed that little Collins boy laying there, dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. The kingdom of God is coming. And he writes, dispensation of the kingdom. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive. And he writes, the seventh ages with their angels, the morning star. The negative to the positive. Above that is where he writes that. As it has been. Now that oughtn't to choke people. From justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then ear. And he writes, the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. See, we're just drawing closer to God all the time. Our brother William continues to say, there in that age is where that promise has to be fulfilled, and the rest of the promises as well. That is why Christ spoke a lot about the coming of the Son of Man at the last day, and that it will be as the lightning coming out of the east, where the Son of Man, Christ, was, and shines, is manifested, is revealed in the west, which is the continent of the Americas, which Latin America and the Caribbean belong to. In other words, we already know that the manifestation or revelation of the Son of Man will be in the West, and from there it will spread out to the whole world. Of which, he told us in the, there are several places where he tells us that he would ride that trail again. On page 164, paragraph 1465, it says, the Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. You people, the church, just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom, a called out group away from all of them, setting out, believing the promise of God. And on 166, paragraph 1485 says, now, I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? I'll see another time. And just remember, from the west will come a white horse rider. We'll ride this trail again. That's right. Soon as we get ready. It's a promise, you see. And he writes, the West, a rider will come on a white horse. And below he writes, the seven angels come to the West, to the West, because the coming of the Lord, and it is cut right there. It is cut off. In other words, it would be in the west, as the lightning, it says, comes out of the east and shines, is revealed, is manifested in the west. So shall, the scripture says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In the message, spiritual food, in due season, it tells us on page 19, it says, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Didn't Jesus say the same thing to the Syrophoenician woman? He was sent to his own. That's right. He never went to the Gentiles. And now today he visits the Gentiles in their time. There on the left side, he writes, Lamb. And he writes there below that paragraph, God visits the Gentiles today. You say, why is it that the message don't go out in these great big places, these big crusades like amongst the denominations? It's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in season. It would make them sick at their stomach. It's to reach for them. It would hurt them, but not to the bride. You can't do it, but for the children, it's bread, it's life. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There he writes, lion. In other words, his coming among the Gentiles is as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he draws a pyramid and the ages. Now, notice that something. I brought it in case I could read it. Look, in this message, he said to me, Benji, that is a very important message. the message, why little Bethlehem? And look, let us see so you can have it there as well, to have that part while I read it. I was thinking that I couldn't read it, but we have God's approval. Look at what he wrote there. Let us see. He doesn't look very... I'm sorry for this time that I'm taking. Trying to make here... Let us see. There. There he noticed... It is within the Gentiles, in the midst of the Gentiles, that God is carrying out a work. And what was shown to John on an island, the Isles of Patmos, which in some places he has put there, what that island is. Look, he says on page 32 of Why Little Bethlehem, it's becoming to us as ministers today to see that this word is preached, to see that it's done. It's becoming to us a man of this hour that we're living in. I don't know if you have it there. Great man in the earth today. Oh God, they're out there. And he writes, out there, let them see it and grab the sword. No matter what the opposition, if God be for you, who can be against you? And he writes there, Gentiles, PR, Puerto Rico. Now notice where the sword went to. To whom that sword was passed on. It was noticed to another language. It says in the Book of the Seals. No wonder that ministry that God would rise up in the midst of his church were both on an island. I cut it off a little bit there because... But now notice, it says, if God be for you, who can be against you? We don't care jeopardizing our social living. We don't care jeopardizing this, that, or the other. We want to get the water of life back. He says, many afflictions, many persecutions will come due to eating that little book. Perhaps, even one's social life and everything would be affected, but it doesn't matter. What matters is the work that is being carried out, that claiming work of everything that was lost back then during the fall. It is the time when the greatest work of all times is being carried out. And look, let us continue here. There is a place I'm not sure if it's in this book of the seals. Where he wrote, since I didn't know if it was going to be read, I didn't bring this other part. And since we see how God always gives us things, sometimes without us knowing that they are going to be spoken. That shows us that He is the one who is directing everything. We can look for it later on with more time. It has to do with the 50th year of Jubilee of the Church. It was in one of the, or the notes. Now remember something. Everything is being open. What the seventh seal is. But remember, that is for the church bride. Now, once the seventh seal is all opened, that is, that the world will then see, because they will be seeing somehow. Something will provoke that squeeze. Something will make them feel tormented. And I have held back. On reading some things. Because by reading these things, anyone would say, what is he reading there? And I would tell him, and when do I read this and this and that? And he said, God will guide you, and you will know the moment you should read it. Because notice, the word of God must always be spoken for it to make an effect. For it to produce an effect, it must be spoken. And let us look at a place here. We're kind of like getting around to something here. On page 553 in the Book of the Seals, it tells us, it is because, notice, who is the Son of Man for this day? All of that is that great mystery of the seventh seal. On page 553, we must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time, of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up, of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of this struggling world, the system cosmos. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there, it's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Revelation, the 7th, 10th chapter, and 1 to the 7th verse, time runs out. The angel said time will be no more, and he writes there 8th day. In the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. The end of this 7th seal, notice, it's the end of the church age. And he writes, at the end of this 7th seal, he writes, spare time, Moses and Elijah. It's the end of the 7th seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even and the ushering in of the millennium. And there he writes, at the bottom, on page 464 of the book in Spanish, he writes, at the end of the 7th seal is the end of everything. And there on top of this writing, he writes, at the end of the half hour of silence. And at the end, remember that it's almost half an hour. Like one time a while ago, we made the example, let's see, from here to, we said that from here to the shopping center there in San Juan, it's almost 40 minutes or 35 without traffic, almost more or less, see, with traffic. It takes a little longer, because it's almost a time. That depends on something. Almost half an hour. There is no specific time. Now, God deals this way, notice, with the Gentiles. But with Israel, it's 3.5 years. In other words, almost half an hour. It's fluctuating there. It could be less. It could be just a little more. Almost can be almost reaching a half hour. 20 years and 10 months is half an hour before God. Exactly the amount of time of the woman on the stretcher, about 20 years. Let us go to, where was that part at? In the place where it speaks about the 10th vision. If it is 98 or 320. Which says, I have been on the stretcher or bedridden. This is 14, page 14. Paragraph 103. And in behind this canvas was a little square building, about 12 foot across and 20 foot long, something like that. Well, I stood and looked at that. There he writes 12 by 20. and I seen them bringing a lady up on a stretcher, and there was a lady there taking her name and things with on a paper. And so there is someone come and got her and push her through. And the next man come through was with crutches. See how they were people in need? I see them go through that little building. And on the outside, the lady come out, screaming to the top of her voice, pushing this stretcher. Then there was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman. And she said, "What happened?" In other words, she was interviewing her. And she said, "I just don't know." She said, "I couldn't tell you what happened." She said, "I have been paralyzed for 20 years. And looky, I feel like I never was sick." Now notice, there in 20 years, he circles it. All of that represents that half hour of silence, which there, with the healing of that woman, shows that at the end of the seventh seal, the church bride will receive complete healing. Now, that woman is a very important key there. He continues to tell us there that the man also came out carrying his crutches. Now let us continue where we had paused in the Book of the Seals. It says on page 553, that's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes here. Now, he writes there, the Son of Man equals the seventh seal. We are already seeing who the Son of Man for this day is. He writes, the Son of Man equals seventh seal. And that rocket explodes here, and he draws a cornerstone on the left side, and an arrow toward the cornerstone, and below only the seventh. And on the right side, under seventh seal, the Son of Man equals the seventh seal, on the right side he writes, fifth Elijah. And he goes up and then explodes again. And he writes, Second Moses. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes. And he writes, Second Jesus. He writes, Second Jesus. And there is from the top, the Son of Man equals seventh seal, fifth Elijah, Second Moses, Second Jesus. And then one of them starts explode and blows out five stars from it. See, it fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know. Isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. And he writes, seventh millennium. Now, our brother William continues saying here, we all have the types and figures of the coming of the Son of Man, given by Jesus Christ our Savior. And as He opens the Scripture to us, we will understand all those promises. And we will be hearing His voice. And we will be standing before the Son of Man at this end time, in the manifestation of the Son of Man as He promised it. The promise is that we will be hearing the voice of the Son of Man, the voice of Christ, the voice of the Holy Spirit at this end time. Who is the Son of Man for this day? He asked us there, who is the Son of Man for this day? Let us stand. And we have spoken these portions today, where we have seen the place, where, in whom, and how the manifestation of the Son of Man would be today. That is, at this end time in the midst of His church. And as we read at the beginning, it would be in a simple way, in the common of the people. Who is the Son of Man for this day? Thus we leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.